The world is becoming more and more unstable by the day, and many Americans are not waiting around to find out how bad it could get. They're making the decision to diversify their wealth with precious metals like gold and silver, and they're turning to the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Right now, Goldco is offering up to $10,000 in bonus silver while supplies last. Go to HannityGold.com to learn more. That's HannityGold.com.
Now, nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter of a tank of gas if you're lucky. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk and text and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. Make the switch today, and if you do it today, you save an additional 50% off your first month. They use the same 5G network, same cell towers as the big carriers, and most families saving close to $1,000 a month. Just go to puretalk.com/Sean, that's Sean, S-E-A-N. Make the switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today. And only 9 days away from a full year trapped behind enemy lines. Even our government admits hundreds are of Americans trapped there that want to come home, but yet no progress. You know, I saw this article about this, Bloomberg News. Now, before U.S. intelligence found out the Taliban was hiding Ayman al-Zawahiri in Kabul, Joe Biden apparently was willing to hand over $3.5 billion to the Taliban. Now, we had already been reporting over and over again, our Afghan allies, you know, of course, they had a computer list of many of them who were being taken from their homes and either never seen or heard from again and killed by the Taliban or just killed right out in front of their homes in broad daylight. We've had all the reports. Young girls, if you're older than six, you don't get to go to school at all anymore. Women are told again how to dress. Women can't go to work like they used to. All the old Taliban is back. Why would you even consider giving them any money? And they've been very open that their country is going to be a safe haven for terrorist organizations. You know, great. We got Ayman al-Zawahiri. I'm glad we got him. Oh, good call. Why was he there? Why has it now become a safe haven for terrorist organizations to plot, plan, scheme the next attack likely against our country? Anywhere, apparently, you know, sheltering Ayman al-Zawahiri, who was killed last week, dealt a blow to an already ridiculous idea. What is it about Biden? Why would he want to give $3.5 billion to the Islamic Emirates of Afghanistan run by the Taliban, knowing the human rights abuses that are all over the country with the new Taliban in charge, which is like the old Taliban? You know, just like, why did Joe Biden give a million barrels of our strategic petroleum reserves to China? Why did he give, why was he thinking and still contemplating the idea of lifting tariffs that Donald Trump put in place with China? You know, why didn't he, why was he allowing himself to get threatened by President Xi instead of challenging President Xi on the origins of COVID? What they knew and when they knew it, why they put their travel ban in effect, and what they unleashed on the entire world. Why didn't he challenge them on the oppression and slavery of the minority Uyghurs within China? Why didn't he challenge them on unfair trade practices? Why didn't he challenge them on intellectual property theft? Why didn't he challenge them on saber rattling over Taiwan? He didn't do any of those things. And then they threatened to take Nancy Pelosi's plane out of the sky, and Joe Biden is silent. And you know, Peter Ducey, I'll get to it later, asked the question. What, he has a lot of time on his hands. He's still testing positive for COVID. Apparently, even today, he's still positive. And he had another rebound case, just like Fauci had a rebound case, just like we had been, I think, the only show that highlighted, yeah, if you take Paxlovid, there is this common condition that happens 5 days after you test negative, you might test positive again.
I'm not saying not to take it. Doctors, you know, they know this exists, the possibility of a rebound. And then people usually end up taking two rounds of it and they're okay, at least according to the doctors that I've talked to. But check in with your own doctor. Now, look, ever since Pelosi landed there, they've just been having a fit over in China. I mean, it's sort of like a temper tantrum. Now, the latest is the flurry of military flights being Beijing is flew yesterday in Taiwanese airspace. They're setting a record of activity now before disclosing the data. Anyway, since we've been disclosing data, now China is threatening to blockade Taiwan, and Chinese apparently is forcing it carried out live fire, exercises right off their coast of Taiwan. And by the way, in six delineated zones facing Taiwan's military bases, the biggest commercial ports in Taiwan, allowing the Chinese military, the People's Liberation Army, to form a blockade around the island for the first time, a breakthrough highlighted by state media outlets in Beijing. They're just bragging about it. What is Joe Biden going to do? He's not going to lift a finger. He didn't challenge President Xi throughout this entire episode. Left, frankly, Nancy Pelosi, I can't believe I'm defending her, kind of left her out there, hanging out there. Never said publicly, hey, I support her going to see our ally in Taiwan. And did next to nothing over it. Then China is now sanctioning Nancy Pelosi. They announced sanctions specifically against her and her family following her visit. The Chinese foreign ministry spokesperson announcing sanctions, calling Pelosi's visit to Taiwan an egregious provocation and gross interference in our country's internal affairs. In disregard of China's grave concerns and firm opposition, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi insisted on visiting China's Taiwan region. They already call it China. And this constitutes, and you can go back to the One China policy. I don't want to go into the granular on all of this, but this constitutes a gross interference in Chinese internal affairs. It gravely undermines China's sovereignty and territorial integrity, seriously trample on the One China principles, severely threatening peace and stability. They reassured China before Nancy Pelosi's flight that there is no change in American policy as it relates to the One China policy, going back to 1979. Anyway, so Biden is going to keep the aircraft carrier group in the South China Sea, but apparently was going to have a missile test, but is afraid to have it. So, what are the odds? And we'll check in later with Gordon Chang. He thinks the coming collapse of China is real. I'm not so sure. I know they're struggling with their own economic issues, but I don't see it the way he sees it. I think China has been building up their military. They want to be the dominant country on the face of the earth, and they've made no bones about it. They're doing it out in the open. And the saber rattling has been real, and it's been consistent. And, you know, the world ought to be taking note. Now, I go back to my theory. If you want to accept that China is now being this aggressive towards Taiwan, the way they were towards Hong Kong and the crackdown there, and they're going to fulfill their territorial ambitions, and you know Joe Biden's not going to lift a finger, nor is any other country going to lift a finger. So what is the best way to combat China? It's financially. The Western world, if they were smart, needs to divest itself from any Chinese imports at all whatsoever, especially important things like pharmaceuticals and PPE and things like microchips. We need to start producing all of it domestically, just like every Western country needs to produce their own energy. And you can bankrupt Putin and the hostile regime in Russia if you do that. So, I mean, a lot of this, to me, is just simple, basic common sense if they had a backbone. By the way, Joe Biden once again forgot that he was president yesterday. What a shocker. Anyway, you can't make this up. Now, they got this new Corvette out there. And a lot of my friends are real, I mean, I call them motorheads. I mean, they just love their cars. I mean, they're out there on Saturday and Sunday washing their car, waxing their car. It's like the old days. I'm like, guys, you know, send it to the dealer, get it detailed that way. I couldn't imagine wasting 4 hours on a Saturday or Sunday out cleaning my car and cleaning my rims. And and taking out a buffer and making it shine. I just don't care. I just want it to work. As long as it gets me from point A to point B, I just don't really give that much thought about it. Anyway, so they love this new Corvette Z06. Linda, have you seen the Corvette Z06?
No, but I just laughed out loud at what you were saying. I don't know
who I'm talking about. You know all my friends. They're all nuts.
Yes, I know. They love their cars.
You know, Hannity, I don't understand you. You can afford it. Why don't you go out and buy this? I'm like, I don't want that car.
I don't know anything about the on what's under the hood. To me, it's all digital and technical now. But
one of my friends has a Porsche. He goes, I just want you to drive it. You drive it, you're going to want to buy it. I promise you. So I get in. First of all, I feel like I'm sitting on the pavement.
Yeah, it's a low profile car.
Okay. I'm like, man, that hurts my back to even get in this stupid thing. I'd rather lift, 100 pound dumbbells, and which I can lift, but putting that aside. And I'm like, okay, what do you want me to do now? No, you need to drive it and really crank it up. I want you to take it on the highway and just let it loose. You take it on the highway. I see an open area. I put the foot down to the pedal to the metal. It takes off. And I'm like, okay, that's it. I don't see anything that great about it. Anyway, they love, love, love the Corvette Z06. And
what do they love about it?
I don't know. So I said, well, I'll get my name on a list for you. You actually have to put your name on a list to get production of the Z06. Apparently, I didn't make the first round. I didn't get a call back.
I think they've been calling
people back.
Probably a Joe Biden inviter in charge of that list.
The car is a cool looking car. I think it's the best looking Corvette since the old Stingray. I do think that part.
Okay.
Anyway, so Biden was talking about Corvettes yesterday, and he referred to himself as vice president. What is wrong with this guy?
I must admit, in total disclosure, I've spoken to the chairwoman about the possibility of my being able to buy one of those Corvettes that are electric vehicles when they come out. I'm not going to be able to do it because I can't drive a vehicle while I'm president.
It's good for the economy and the environment.
What's good for the economy and the environment? Joe Biden not driving that car? I agree with her. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, no, I agree with him never driving ever again under any circumstances. That would not be good for other drivers. It would be almost as bad as driving next to Paul Pelosi. I couldn't resist. Anyway, so based on what he said, and I'm not keeping up with all of this, I can call my motorhead friends. As a matter of fact, I think one of them told me that they're only going to make this new Corvette for X number of years as a gas-powered Corvette. I mean, it's got a massive size engine. Don't ask me how big. I have no idea. So I guess Corvette is going electric. Is that what the point is? Or are they going to offer both?
I'm sure they're going to offer both for a little while. But if Pete Buttigieg has any say, everybody's going
electric. Oh, my gosh. They're going to ruin the Corvette. Biden apparently owns a 1967 Corvette Stingray. The one thing I can say about him. Okay, that's pretty cool. And while I'm president, after he says while I'm vice president, he's mixed up his job title on so many occasions. In May, he referred to himself as the nation's first senator from Delaware when he meant to say president. He, referred to President Kamala Harris at least on four occasions, most recently in January. He doesn't even know what his job is. And then, of course, the mix-up when he announced, the vice president had COVID at the time or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's doing fine, which he confused who was married to who and who was sick. I mean, he doesn't know. If there's not a script, he doesn't know.
It's that bad. Anyway, we got a lot of news to get to. Also, Tim Scott, who I've gotten to know, probably one of the nicest guys you're ever going to want to meet in your life. He had the most horrific upbringing as a child. And he's written about it. And it's been a while since I got a copy of his book and I was reading it. I'm like, wow. Because I know people that have had tough childhoods. He had a rough, rough childhood. And, a long time ago, I met his mom, a lovely lady. And, basically she saved his life. First year in high school, he failed all but one class. And he failed Spanish and English and civics. I can tell you that much, but I won't tell you much more. He thought he was going to be in football, and he talks about how he has whole life turned around and what changed his life around. It's a phenomenal story. It really is. And I think everybody can learn from this about life lessons and what makes you strong in the end and how to be independent and how to, finally get a hold of yourself and get on the right path. For him, it was a spiritual journey that he remains on today, and it's very inspiring. Listen, would you turn down $1 million a year, Linda? Would you turn it down if I
offered
it to you?
I would not. I would run very quickly towards it.
What if you had to surrender your independence and abandon your principles for the money?
I would be very poor.
So you wouldn't do it. Okay, now. Rolling along on a Friday, 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program. By the way, Texas has now expanded their illegal immigrant relocation program to New York City. Now, I'm a little torn on this because I love the idea of dumping every illegal immigrant that Joe Biden is aiding and abetting in lawbreaking into the country. And by the way, I have no problem against immigrants. I don't. Just do it legally. You know, and we should have a background check to make sure people don't have radical associations. In the middle of a pandemic, you need to have a health check. You need to show that you're not going to be a financial burden on the American people. Then I don't care where you come from. Welcome to America. And there's only, you know, certain coveted spots you can give out a year. Otherwise, you have open borders. You see what happens, the chaos down at the border. And, I'm just saying, Joe's going to put him on a bus, send him to jail. Joe's letting him in. Joe's processing them and releasing them. Joe's giving them a Biden phone. Joe's not giving them a COVID test or a vaccine mandate. Instead of sending them to other states, it's his problem. He's causing it. He's facilitating it. He ought to be paying for it. And now Muriel Bowser's upset and the mayor of New York's upset. But I think they should send them to Joe. They're okay, here, put them on your doorstep. And it's not our problem. You steadfastly refuse to enforce the laws of this country. And this is now the benefit that you have. You take care of them. I mean, and think of what people are going through and the number of people that, you know, that are abused in this process because, oh, they think Joe said to come.
Continuing the mission of saving America as we return to the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, some good news. 25 before the top of the hour. The Biden administration has now graciously agreed to stop funding drug programs that distribute their crack pipes that they lied about to drug addicts. I don't know if Hunter was on board with the decision or not. We have no word yet. He's too busy with his artwork that are sold to anonymous buyers, portraits of a crack addict. What are you on, drugs? Come on, man. You a junkie? I mean, this president is so out there. Anyway, the Biden administration said that they will schedule meetings with each grant recipient of its controversial harm reduction program to ensure taxpayer dollars do not go towards crack pipes any longer. A pledge that follows a Washington Free Beacon report that organizations slated to receive these funds are actively distributing crack and meth pipes. In response to the story, which detailed how the Department of Health and Human Services is set to fund two main harm reduction groups that as recently as last week were distributing free crack pipes and other drug paraphernalia, according to an agency spokesman, and will now schedule meetings with each recipient to review their offerings. The Daily Caller reported, last month, the New York organization was awarded $400,000 through the Biden administration's grant program, actively distributing crack pipes. It's sort of like these safe injection sites. You know, 1 mile from Nancy Pelosi's home, where she has that beautiful freezer full of very extravagant and expensive ice cream, which I try never to eat. I like it, but I don't eat it. I like it too much is the problem. Anyway, so 1 mile from her house in one direction is where all these people are shooting up in the street, defecating in the street, urinating in the street. And on the other side, 1 mile away, is her office. And, you know, what has Nancy Pelosi ever done to lift a finger to help all these people with drugs? Why didn't she go in her gated community, go around, knock on doors and saying, we're giving $1 million because they're pretty wealthy. Well, we're giving $2 million. Here, we're going to build a facility so that people can get, you know, a shower, fresh meal, and drug counseling. Don't give them the pipes. Don't give them the equipment to use it. Oh, it's Hannity, but they're going to do it anyway. Well, then that's not my problem. At some point, you cannot assist, aid, abet, be an enabler to people that are using drugs. I've had this conversation with friends of mine. There's somebody I know, and their son just it cannot get off whatever it is. It's always something. And every single time, you know, the kid will go out, get a job, won't last long, back on the booze, back on the drugs, back on. And this has gone on. I think the kid's now like 30, 40 years old. And I'm like, at one point do you say you got to stop? Now, maybe it's, look, I understand it's your kid. You want to help your kid. But the whole concept of tough love is saying, if you do this again, I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to be here to support you. I don't know how many, you ever watched, Linda, the show Intervention on A&E?
Oh my God, it's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. And almost, and the worst part is they have the intervention and they often get the person to accept the help. They have this very emotional meeting. All their loved ones are waiting for them. They bring them into the room. They're shocked that everybody's there. This is an intervention. Everybody reads letters to the person about how their drug use, how their addiction has impacted their lives. And often you have these kids reading these heartfelt letters to mom or dad about how awful their life is and how they want their parent back. And anyway, and then they'll agree to go to treatment. And then at the end, they'll scroll, oh, so-and-so checked out after 5 days, 6 days, 7 days. I tell you,
they take another hit and they die because they were getting clean and then they get a bad hit of whatever these drugs are laced with.
It's unbelievable.
And I'll tell you, what's the other show? Remember that show we used to talk about? It's another one, Beyond Scared Straight. Do you remember that show?
I remember that from when I was a kid.
But it's the same idea. You know, they basically like they get, you know, you get into these kids' lives and it's devastating. And a lot of times, I hate to use the phrase that it's too late, but sometimes it is too late. You know, by the time you're paying attention, like you have to read the signs. You know, one of the things I learned when I was really studying up on the heroin problem, you know, the microcosm of that with fentanyl and heroin is in Ohio, although now I think it's probably spread even further all over the country. But Ohio is like a center point. And one of the things that they say to look for are the spoons, right? If you're missing a lot of spoons because the kids are using them to heat up, you know, crack or heroin or whatever and shoot up. And I just think that everybody's kind of checked out and we all need to kind of check in. We got a little bit of that back during COVID because we started paying attention to schooling and what was being taught to our children, which obviously is why we had Cruz Rufo on and all these other things. But the drug problem, like if you don't catch it early, it's really scary. It's almost like foregone. And the pill problem is even worse because...
Well, the pill problem leads to the heroin problem.
But it's just, you know, or vice versa. It's all bad at the end of the day.
You know what I love about the fact that my kids were in sports? In college, they test them randomly.
It's awesome.
Constantly.
Agreed. Wonderful.
Now, there's a little secret. I probably shouldn't reveal it, but it's true. What I've noticed and what I've heard from other people, I'll put it that way, is that usually the coaches will test so that they would catch it before the school catches it.
Right.
And the school tries to catch it before the NCAA catches it. But they have all these different levels of testing. So, you know, the tests are happening all the time and the kids know that they're in trouble, deep trouble if they get caught. And then they have rules, you know, for example, if it's hard drugs, they're going away, they're off the team immediately.
But also, you know, there's another issue too, when you're looking at all these kids who are shooting up and getting away with it is now the acceptance. I mean, New York is a perfect example. I mean, I cannot walk down the street in New York City without somebody in front of me vaping weed, smoking weed. I'm like,
is vaping weed smelled like that?
It's disgusting. It all smells like
the same.
Yeah.
Skunk.
Thank you. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Chris Ray, before the Senate panel yesterday, you know, said he's going to take steps to protect the whistleblowers after Chuck Grassley and Ron Johnson exposed that there are whistleblowers in the FBI saying that there are people covering for Hunter Biden inside the FBI and the Department of Justice. Literally covering for them. Now, the FBI has had Hunter Biden's laptop for the longest period of time. The same Christopher Wray that didn't hold a single deep state actor accountable for the Russian hoax and the Russian lie and the dirty disinformation dossier, he didn't do anything. He didn't lift a finger to hold those. If any of you listening to this program, if you ever went before a judge and you lie before a judge, don't ever do it. Because if you do, you'll probably be locked up forever, especially if it's known you're a conservative. Anyway, so, you know, none of the people that lied on the FISA warrant, top of a FISA warrant says verified, were held accountable. Nobody's held accountable. They've had this laptop forever, and we've now verified most of the information, and it goes right to Joe Biden. Nobody seems to care about that either. Nobody cared about the real quid pro quo when he withheld $1 billion from Ukraine so to get a prosecutor investigating his son fired. And Ray doesn't I can't address the specific allegations related to the Hunter Biden case. We'll be scrupulous in our adherence to rules related to whistleblowers. If these allegations of misconduct by FBI employees, you know, we want to make sure we get that information so we can use the tools we have to go after that conduct. But certainly I condemn in the strongest possible terms any prospect of retaliation against whistleblowers. I think retaliatory conduct against whistleblowers is unacceptable. They used to love whistleblowers. They don't love whistleblowers anymore. They only like whistleblowers if, you know, it's a hearsay whistleblower against Donald Trump. That's all they really care about. And then Ray said, well, it's troubling about this FBI agent covering up for Hunter Biden. Apparently, the evidence is overwhelming and incontrovertible. And he's not lifted a finger. Anyway, you've got this one guy that they mentioned his name. I don't know how to say his last name. One agent. And anyway, he was in charge of the Washington field office, apparently. And John Kennedy pursued a line of questioning with Director Ray, who had been at the FBI for more than 25 years. This guy's now on leave. Kennedy grilled Ray about his partisan actions on social media. Now, if you're an FBI special agent, you're not supposed to be on social media giving out your opinions, like liking a Washington Post article entitled William Barr Has Gone Rogue, or tweeting to Liz Cheney that her father, Vice President Dick Cheney, is a disgrace. This is an FBI high-ranking official, you know, or, you know, mentioning the retweet of a Lincoln Project post saying Donald Trump is a psychologically broken, embittered, and deeply unhappy man. Kennedy presses Ray on the allegations that this guy, you know, and the links between Trump and Russia and the ongoing Hunter Biden probe, and that they had covered up derogatory information about Mr. Biden while working for the FBI. And Ray gave similar answers. You know, we have to be very, very careful about not interfering with any ongoing personal investigations. And nothing ever happens. That's the point. You got these whistleblowers coming forward. They tell Senator Grassley with compelling, credible evidence that senior officials at the FBI are hiding incriminating evidence against Hunter. I mean, there's a great article by Greg Jarrett on this. You know, suspected of influence peddling schemes while portraying his laptop as Russian disinformation. What about all those people that said it was Russian disinformation? It was just before an election when this was brought out. So you have 2016, you have the lie about Trump-Russia collusion pushed by the media mob and by the Democratic Party, leading to FISA warrants, four of them over the course of a year. And even after the subsource of Christopher Steele, Hillary Clinton funneling money through Perkins Coie to Fusion GPS, an op research firm that hires Christopher Steele, none of it's verifiable. It's all been debunked. And not one person is held accountable for this. What if the last name was Trump? There's some questions over at Zero Hedge today. Forget about Sean Hannity. So if you listen to the establishment survey on jobs, apparently the unemployment rate goes today from 3.5%, and the economy, according to reports, added 528,000 new jobs. Now, that would be great, and I hate to say that Lawrence Summers is right, but he pointed out if you really want to make a dent in inflation, you're going to have very high unemployment for that to happen because the economy's overheated. But there are some questions. Zero Hedge, you know, they made a couple of points today and uncovered what they're calling, quote, a stark divergence between the household and establishment surveys in terms of job creation. The establishment survey is the one you've been hearing about all day. They're claiming 528,000 jobs created last month. By the way, I'm all for jobs being created. The household survey uses different metrics to measure job growth. Usually they parallel each other. That's not the case today, and the divergence is massive. So on the one hand, The closely followed establishment survey for July came in red hot. 528,000 jobs. And, you know, it soared despite U.S. entering the recession as it did last week. It came in at a five-month high. But then the problem emerges for the second month in a row when you look at the third-party data, which tracks the number of new employees laid off as well as new layoff events, both of which have soared since May, which, by the way, have unexpectedly not been reflected in the Bureau of Labor Statistics data. A more pressing question emerges when you look at the Bureau of Labor Statistics' own far more detailed household survey. Unlike the establishment survey, the June jobs change was a far smaller 179,000 job increase, which is down from last month's 315,000 job drop. Now, the household survey also includes other closely watched ratios like the labor force participation rate. Now, despite the apparent surge in June jobs, the labor force participation rate declined for the second month in a row and is now back to levels last seen in 2021. In fact, since March, the establishment survey shows a gain of 1.6 million jobs, while the household survey shows an employment loss of 168,000 jobs. So the unemployment, even CNBC, you know, they're pointing this out. The unemployment rate, you know, you look at the actual numbers and you say, well, why is the labor force participation rate declining of 0.1 percentage point to its lowest level of the year? You know, I just don't know if I believe any of them. And now when you look at this deal that Manchin made, Democrats are now going to punish the middle class, people making under $200,000 a year, with year one, $16.7 billion in new taxes. Year two, almost the same amount. Senator Sinema only agreed to the deal when they removed the carried interest tax increase. This benefits, you know, hedge fund owners and private equity firms and people like that. You have 230 economists warning Manchin's spending bill will contribute to inflation and will further burden the U.S. economy. And inflation is likely to remain high despite this so-called Inflation Reduction Act that everybody knows will raise inflation rates even higher. And by the way, this idea that Manchin is a moderate has got to end. He votes with Bernie Sanders nearly 90% of the time, Elizabeth Warren 91% of the time, Chuck Schumer 91% of the time. He's not a leftist. He's not a liberal. You know, Kristen Sinema voted with Schumer 96% of the time. So, you know what? It's all a myth.
And perception. Sean, one more point. $40.2 billion from the prior month, second only to March's $47 billion in credit. That's what the U.S. consumer borrowing surged to in June.
Listen, I want everybody working.
They're not working if they're getting all their money on credit cards and loans. No bueno.
That's happened. That is happening too. By the way, foreclosures, I've told you, are now at a pandemic high. Things are going south in the housing market real quick.
Imagine a society with a digital dollar and no cash, where every penny you have could all be tracked. That's why thousands of Americans have decided to opt out of the government's plans by talking to Goldco and putting a portion of their savings into physical gold and silver. Right now, they're offering up to $10,000 in bonus silver while supplies last. Go to HannityGold.com to learn how you could get started today. That's HannityGold.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.